Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Lee Edwards, and I'm the president of the Philadelphia Society. It's a beautiful morning in Chicago, and a great day to be alive. Now, that's how one of the most popular DJs in Chicago used to begin his morning radio program. And I offer a slight variation. It's a beautiful evening in Chicago, and a great day to be alive, especially if you're a member or a guest of the Philadelphia Society celebrating our 40th national meeting. I want to pay special tribute to all our generous benefactors, foundations, corporations, individuals who have made this gala possible. They are listed on pages 21 and 23 of the official program before you. And they all deserve a warm round of applause. Indeed, some really warrant a standing ovation for the unprecedented degree of their generosity. I'm happy to announce this evening that we are halfway to raising $400,000 in our capital funds campaign, just over $200,000. And you will be hearing from us to help raise the remaining half. Well, once asked why we were called the Philadelphia Society, the irrepressible Ben Rogge responded, "Because our annual meetings are always held in Chicago." And that was the case from our very first meeting in 1965 through 1986, although we have found other venues since then. But why Chicago? Well, its central geographical location is one obvious reason, and in previous years, one could get fairly decent rates at venerable establishments like the Drake, where the bathroom was often as big as your own living room. But there's a more telling reason. Chicago has often served, if we think about it, as the center of the conservative movement for much of the last 40 years and even longer. Chicago is, after all, the birthplace of Modern Age, still the most important journal of conservative thought in America. It was the longtime home of the Henry Regnery Company, which published, among other seminal conservative works, The China Story by Frieda Utley, God and Man at Yale by William F. Buckley, Jr., and The Conservative Mind by Russell Kirk. All three, by the way, were bestsellers. Chicago counts among its institutions of higher learning the University of Chicago, whose faculty includes 5 Nobel laureates in economics, all free marketers, and whose press has published such conservative classics as The Road to Serfdom by Friedrich Hayek, Ideas Have Consequences by Richard Weaver, and Capitalism and Freedom by Milton Friedman. Well, Chicago, as we know, it's a city of meetings, political, fraternal, medical, and conservative. It was here at the 1960 Republican National Convention that Barry Goldwater told fellow Republicans that conservatives could take over the GOP if they worked hard enough. It was here at an ISI seminar that Richard Weaver discussed the common ground of conservatives and libertarians, a mutual respect for constitutional government with its list of thou shalt nots. It was here at our first national meeting that Milton Friedman, Stanley Perry, Frank Meyer, Russell Kirk, George Stigler, Eliseo Vivas, Robert Strauss Juppé, L. Brent Bozell, and Warren Nutter discussed the future of freedom, problems, and prospects, concluding that ideology and fanaticism are always to be feared, and that conservatives must rely on reason to combat liberal ideology. It was at a society meeting that Irving Kristol, one-time Trotskyite, first gave public notice that he was no longer one of them, but one of us. And it was here in Chicago, at our 22nd national meeting, that Stephen Tonser explained why he was not a neoconservative. It was here at our 30th national meeting in 1994 that Milton Friedman, ever the optimist, suggested that, quote, there is a tendency to underestimate the power of ideas because of the length of time it takes for them to work. The question should be, why not Chicago as the locus of our meetings? Well, let us give thanks then for this great American city, the home of Richard Daley, Saul Bellow, Al Capone, where the hamburger, Cracker Jack, and deep dish pizza were first served. The place that Billy Sunday couldn't shut down. Site of the first mail order house, the first controlled atomic reaction, and the world's tallest building. And most important of all, the place where Don Lipson compiled his listing of important laws, including John Ryan's law of public oratory. Everybody except me speaks too long. William Rusher's other law, when you find a good thing, run it into the ground. The Harris law of nugatory achievement. If a thing isn't worth doing, it isn't worth doing well. Think about that. And Mike Mooney's law, you can't always count on your friends, but you can always count on your enemies. Well, that's why we're here tonight in Chicago. And now to our program, I call on Dr. John Howard, a distinguished member and former president of the Philadelphia Society, to give the invocation.